Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, but this is my favorite episode of the month, the Supply Chain Now radio show. Katie, we got a great show.
Yeah, we do. It is time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the East Coast, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain, the people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day.
All right. I got with me, as usual, Scott Luton. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Lee.
Scott is the Executive Vice President with Apex Atlanta, and Apex is the leading industry association dedicated to end-to-end supply chain management. You got quite a crew here today, Scott.
We sure do. Great to be here on show number 11 with an all-star lineup. And as I mentioned to our guests before the show, I think we're 7 days out from baseball season, so we're going to have lots of baseball references today. 7 days away from games actually count for the Braves. It's been maybe a few years since that's been the case. So our lineup includes Mr. Jack Allen, Senior Director of Logistics at Cisco.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good morning. Matt Markham, Director of the Center of Innovation for Logistics, which is part of the Centers of Innovation with the Georgia Department of Economic Development. Wow, I need one more cup of coffee to get through that. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I have an extra long business card.
Okay. Glad to have you here, Matt. And then our cleanup hitter, as always, Elba Pareja Gallagher, Founder of Show Me 50 and Chair of our Apex Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Lee, you know where we're going to start?
Five things, four, three, what, how many this time?
So today we've got three, but they're kind of meaty. They're kind of meaty, so bear with us. So as always on Supply Chain Now Radio, we're going to kick things off with top things to know in Supply Chain Now. So our first topic, freight prices are not slowing down. According to a Wall Street Journal report, which cited data from Cass Information Systems, it showed truckload demand rose 6.5% year over year in February 2018, which was the fourth straight month of over 6% growth. In fact, spot rates have been seen as high as 40% year over year as well. The story went on to point out that General Mills, maker of Cheerios and yogurt, Yoplait yogurt, anyone have that this morning? No? Captain Crunch?
No breakfast here.
No breakfast here. Oh,
man. Jump right into the work.
Man, serious, folks. Okay. So General Mills was really one of the big food companies struggling in this market. Their transportation spend at 20-year highs. So, of course, April 1st deadline for ELD compliance. ELD, anyone can define ELD? Electronic logging devices. So that this April 1st deadline may well make things worse, as some experts are predicting many drivers to exit the transportation industry, which, as we all know, is already struggling with driver shortages. So big first topic, these freight prices are out of control. So topic number two, how are shippers dealing with this huge challenge? So a short list of things, a lot more planning and a lot better planning, right? Shippers and their supply chain teams are looking to use multiple modes of freight, various routes and avenues, taking advantage of any pricing advantages and capacity that this extra planning, heightened level of planning may offer. Technology, of course. The Wall Street Journal reports that drones and people flying them will quadruple over the next 5 years. And the FAA is reportedly looking at ways to expedite the drone application process. We'll see if that happens. The continued proliferation of predictive and prescriptive analytics as quick decision-making to take advantages of small windows of opportunity is as critical as ever before. Despite the Uber incident from a few days ago, we all saw that tragic incident. The successful application of autonomous vehicles will continue to see pressure, probably from both sides, right? Those in support and those opposed, or at least those that may be in support of higher regulation or stronger regulation. But keep in mind, in early March, Uber had announced that its autonomous trucks were already shipping freight in Arizona. But they did have a driver behind the wheel just in case. I know that, Lee, that's a regular question you've asked before.
A regular question?
Yeah, absolutely. these autonomous trucks, that's how we're...
I'm fascinated by the whole technology thing, and I hope that this recent accident doesn't, you know, put a damper on things.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, and then our third topic. I told you these are kind of meaty way to start out the show. So key nuggets gleaned from the latest edition of the Georgia Logistics Snapshot, produced by the team that helps make Georgia the number one state to do business in for like 17 years running. Right, Matt?
Close.
It's like we're the Ric Flair of the 50 states.
Right. We're not going away.
Okay. That's right. We're not going away. I like that. So a couple of the things that we gleaned from the latest edition here. The U.S. Census reports that fourth quarter e-commerce sales, y'all think it's up or down?
Up. I'm an optimist.
Up. Tremendously. So fourth quarter e-commerce sales for 2017 was up almost 17% from the same time period, 2016. And we talked about this a little bit pre-show, according to a report released by Locals, the Z, and the Supply Chain and Logistics Business Intelligence report, while retailers and consumers value same-day or very quick delivery, that actually ranked number two on the priority list, according to their study. Ranked number one was full supply chain visibility. So interestingly enough, the report noted verbatim, quote, "Now that consumers know that they can get shipments fast and cheap or free, they want to be able to control when, where, and how they receive shipments." So what's next? You're changing addresses or delivery times or delivery places. All this, you know, might very well be the next challenge for the shipper based on evolving customer demand. So the Amazon effect is still very alive and well.
And Scott, we had another big news item with Toys R Us.
Oh, yes.
Right? And so, you know, companies out there need to get serious about leveraging technology, visibility, and e-commerce to grow, because if you don't, you're extinct.
Yep, I'm with you. Great point, Elba. And in fact, Amazon it was reported this morning that they may pick up some of these Toys R Us locations. So we'll see how that works out. A lot of kids had some broken hearts with that Toys R Us news. So one last point, and we're going to dive into Mr. Jack Allen's perspective here. But global air freight up in December 2017, 5.7% year over year, and up 9% for all of last year. So air freight, you know, again, you look at different modes of transport to get around some of the challenges we have. It keeps the Atlanta airport going, doesn't it, Matt?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have got another all-star lineup today. So here on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome a bit of a rock and roll star in the supply chain world, Mr. Jack Allen, Senior Director of Logistics at Cisco, a world-class technology company with a big presence here in Atlanta, the hashtag Supply Chain City. We had to get that in for Ben Harris.
At least once.
Probably 17 more times.
Hashtag bingo we play here.
Bingo board here for that. So good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Welcome again.
Thank you.
You know, there's no shortage of major technology breakthroughs rippling through supply chain and beyond, right? Mm-hmm. Digital warehouses, connected transport, data foundation, standards and protocols. We talked about some of that pre-show. All of these and more are changing the face of supply chain. So how do companies survive?
Yeah, well, it's a really good question. In fact, a lot of companies don't survive. If you look at the latest stats, I mean, depending on how far out you go, you know, 50%, 80% of Fortune 500 companies are going to be wiped out, right? They're going to be wiped out because they don't adapt well to change. So the question is, if you're running a big company or even a little company, how do you change quickly enough to be able to survive that onslaught? What we're seeing right now, change in the supply chain and in the digital arena is happening more quickly than you can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. So we started trying to transform logistics at Cisco. By the way, we're the network Cisco, not the food Cisco.
That's right.
So probably 2.5-3 years ago. And when I started, nobody was talking about augmented reality. Within, 6 months, suddenly everybody was talking about AR. Look at blockchain. Blockchain was not a topic of interest probably a year ago. And now all the big logistics companies are playing with blockchain. All the supply chain companies are playing with blockchain. I mean, it's happening so fast. And, you know, companies and organizations have to be able to ride that wave of technology change. They have to be able to adapt more quickly, which means that the old ways of doing business are still important, but there's new skills that have to be developed. How do you do rapid prototyping instead of trying to create, you know, God solutions that are analyzed for 5 years and then you implement? By the time you learn what that solution looks like, you need a new solution, right? So people who are quick, people who are adaptable, and companies that are willing to change. Logistics, fundamentally, in my belief, is as much an information industry as it is a brick and mortar plane and train industry. And I think the industry has been very slow to recognize that. Supply chain and logistics as a whole are very disruptive industries, and they've driven massive culture shifts, massive city shifts, and country shifts as countries learn new ways of getting goods to the market as far back as the East India Company, you know, so it's worth paying attention to, and we have to be willing to change.
Now, how do you expect these large enterprises to be able to discern which is the fad and which is the trend when the technology changes so rapidly?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think what we're trying to do is adapt quickly and try a lot of stuff. And we're trying to get ahead of the wave. So, you know, will AR be big in a warehouse? Could be. We think it's got a lot of promise. Might it be something that, you know, we spent a year or two on and turned out not to be so valuable? Yeah, it could be. So we try a lot of stuff. We see what starts to work. We look for the big successes, and we try and listen a lot. So, you know, I'm on Twitter all the time. Yes. I'm looking for trends. I go to conferences, and we, you know, we just need to pay attention, right?
So, and you have to build in failure and accepting failure in order for this to work, right?
Totally. Yeah, if you're not willing to fail, you're going to fail. I mean, it's
but that's a shift in a lot of large enterprises where there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of politics and there people are concerned for their own jobs where they're less likely to take big risks.
Yes, absolutely. And so supply chain at Cisco is a bunch of what we call high verifies, right? And my personality types more on a high innovator. When we turned on our innovation lab in Houston, we knew we needed a space. We didn't exactly know what we were going to do in that space. And frankly, it caused a lot of my peers and my boss's heads to explode. You know, they're like, what do you mean you don't know what the ROI is? What do you mean you don't know what you're going to test? What do you mean? You know, and you have to be willing to do that. And it is a mind shift, right? And it's a culture shift for a lot of corporations. Right.
And that's why, would you say 80% aren't going to be around?
Correct. Yeah, because that's a hard leap. It's almost a leap of faith.
Yeah, you have to reward failure in a way, but corporations are built to penalize and punish failure. Mm,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So with all this innovation activity, is there one breakthrough technology that y'all have really seen a real practical application with some tangible return thus far that you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to think of probably some of the sexiest stuff. We are doing the AR. We're very high on that. And I'll tell you why. It's not just the fact that coupling vision and voice gives you a much more effective, much more high quality pick in a warehouse. We actually think that by taking the access points and being able to watch where people go, not visually, but electronically, okay, we know that this device is in this aisle at this point in time. You can do a couple of things. You can change the warehouse from, let's face it, when I grew up, which was a long time ago, we don't need to get into that.
1982. We always pick out a year in the 80s.
The warehouse process, the tools are faster, but we really haven't changed from a batch process, right? It needs to become an agile process. Coupling that data of where people are and where stuff is to what you need. So being able to self-optimize the warehouse based on seeing where the people are going and what they're picking and have the warehouse learn to where to put the product up, being able to drop picks to people opportunistically, being able to know that this carton is inbound and you need that for that order and it should go right out the door right away. We think that coupling of location-based technology and visual technology is going to be pretty hot. Mm. And a preliminary test indicate that it is, but we've got to get things like the warehouse management system vendors to be able to integrate that data stream into processes that actually make sense. Mm.
So Jack, we could literally, I'd love to pick your brain for several hours on technology alone, but
yeah, that would bore you.
Cisco's doing a lot of really neat things when it comes to digitization. So, but let's transition a little bit into talent, because I know you're real passionate about this topic as well. So, with this change that the industry is going through, how is that impacting the type of talent we're looking for in supply chain?
Yeah. So if I can get a commercial in for diversity now, you know, I'm married to a Latina. She was a woman in a male dominated profession, IT, male dominated industry, oil, male dominated country, Venezuela. So she's, you know, she's tough as nails, and she's kind of opened my eyes to some of the opportunities. I think that the traditional ideas of talent is a group of people who looks like us and thinks like us, tying into the innovation thing as well. I think that for the future, we have to be able to look at people who are different from us, people from different cultures, people who look different, and people who have different ideas. So instead of trying to shut down, you know, maybe that guy who's a high improvise instead of a high verify, you need to embrace that difference. And we need to look in places that we've never looked before for talent. So, and we actually think that that benefits the whole industry. I had the pleasure of seeing the Facebook chief information security officer talking about cybersecurity at a conference. And his point was exactly that. He's like, look, if you want to stop hacking, you need to have people who think differently. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have people who think differently if they all look the same, if they all come from the same background. And I think the same thing is true for the whole supply chain. We have a great opportunity in this space to capture all that talent that's out there that we're not looking at before the other guys do. And maybe we won't be one of the 50%.
So Cisco clearly is committed to creating that diverse workforce that that mirrors your customers, right?
Exactly.
Different walks of life.
But what do you do to grow your own, to kind of incubate the talent at earlier ages?
Yeah, cool. I'm glad you asked that. A couple of things. We're big fans of Georgia Tech, right? So we actually get a lot
who's
of...
Who's not? Like, who's not?
Yeah.
How much better is Georgia Tech than Clemson?
Georgia Tech is...
big one.
Oh, man. Lee, I have no engineers, Lee, from Clemson.
Really? But well, you know, diversity is important, so you should get a couple.
I should get some Clemson people. Probably some football players.
That's right. Yeah, Dabo can come in and talk about culture, but...
Now, how do you... How are you addressing it at a younger age? Because that's where we talk about this elbow all the time, is we have to get the younger people at least considering supply chain as a path.
Right. So we have a cool thing called a multi-company rotation, right? Where we're actually, and we believe we're the first ones in the world to do this, where we take co-ops, and I'm sure you guys know about the co-op program, but maybe the listeners don't. So a co-op is somebody who goes to school, goes to work, goes to school, goes to work. So every other quarter, they're either in school or they're working for a company.
Wow.
Most companies will rotate within departments. We're actually rotating across companies in our supply chain. So a co-op for us may go to Jabil for a quarter, and then they may come to Cisco, and then they may go to Schenker for a quarter, and then they may come to Cisco. And then they, you know, we're actually talking about even sending them to our customers so they'll get a broad-based perspective of our entire supply chain end-to-end with all of our partners like UPS. Second thing that we do as a family is we coach robotics. We're trying to bring in more girls, more different types of people. And it's so heartwarming. We had this little group of robotic kids. A couple of them were ADD. We were going to a scrimmage and we were talking to them about, you know, their strengths and their weaknesses. And all these kids highlighted, hey, you know, we don't get along very well. We swear at each other. We say horrible things, et cetera. And they actually took a trophy in this thing called gracious professionalism, which is how they work together, how they show up in front of the judges. I thought I was going to cry, right? Mm. Because, you know, you see these kids develop leadership. And the cool thing is that when you start with non-traditional technologists like girls and like, you know, diverse talent and all that, and they say, oh, I don't have to be a fashion designer. I could be a product designer.
Right.
I like engineering. Oh, I like math.
I like supply chain.
I like supply chain.
Because they use the technology. They're using all the stuff in their day-to-day life. It's just they're not connecting the dots that they can be part of the solution and create the stuff and not just consumers of it.
No, it's super exciting. And you know, it's fun to watch these kids. We had our latest group and they decided they want to build battle bots, which is sort of more a boy thing.
Cool
right?
stuff.
So the girls in our group were like, okay, I want to build the robot, but I don't want to fight the robot because I don't want my beautiful robot to get destroyed.
And then maybe we should rethink of how you do those things to include more people to give them an outcome that they desire, you know?
So we need to do a lean-in circle for the robots, first
of all. Yeah, that's awesome.
But secondly, real quick, and I want to get into some of the talent strategy that Cisco uses, but speaking of growing their own and creating this awareness, you know, we have now Supply Chain 101, which is a program that Apex Atlanta and Supply Chain Now Radio has been implementing out across elementary schools in Georgia. We have presented to almost 400 fourth and fifth graders just through an hour-long awareness enrichment program, really covering, you know, what is supply chain? What are some of the careers that you can find in supply chain? Who are some of the leading companies that use armies of supply chain, right? And to your point, it is so rewarding to see these light bulbs literally go off right in front of you as you're just engaging and sharing and in many cases, providing some open doors of opportunity that many of these kids have not heard about or haven't been shared with. So, Matt,
Scott,
Mark,
are you talking about UPS as an awesome place for supply chain careers?
Absolutely.
All right.
Just down the street, the global headquarters.
I think everybody here will have raised their hands.
So, I want to give Matt Markham a big kudos real quick, too, because he came out to Lockheed Elementary School, spent a whole day, as busy as Matt is, traveling the whole state of Georgia to make sure this economic engine it continues to ramp up. He spent the whole day with us. We reached almost 100 fifth graders that day up in Marietta, and very rewarding. So appreciate your service there. It's all about action.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was probably one of my favorite days that I've had working here. And that's what's going to make our economic engine keep going is those kids and where they go in the future.
That's right. Upstream workforce development. Thank you. So, Jack, getting back to talent, and let's talk about some of your pillars related to your talent strategy. And let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, basically we have three pillars. So plan and design, right? How do we set up the environment to where we can build the best talent, we can plan it, and we can design both our site strategy and our people strategy so they work together. Second pillar is attract and retain. How do I bring in the best and the different and the most successful talent? And then how do we keep them engaged, keep them active? We're doing a lot of innovative work on, engagement and employee engagement. We have a really cool tool called TeamSpace that keeps everybody engaged in what they're doing. And the last one is, how do we enable and develop? So I just got back from a great supply chain program. I actually believe Cisco is one of the best in the world in terms of training supply chain leadership. And believe it or not, Scott, it was in Chicago. And it was set around the concept of improv, right? And the idea is that if you're not going to be one of those 15% of the companies, you have to be able to improvise.
Wow.
You have to be able to, get thrown into the middle of the pool and learn how to swim. Mm. And so, it was pretty exciting. In previous sessions for our leadership directors and above, we've done things like storytelling. And it seems a little wonky and outside the pale, but actually it's how you build your leadership and how you teach them new things so that you can build the supply chain of tomorrow. Yep.
Well, improv helps forces you to say yes. So
exactly.
How did you guys handle that? Executives usually like to say no.
So the most hilarious part was when we had the IT guy and the finance guy, the HR lady up in front of everybody. The finance guy we thought was going to be extremely stiff. He turned out to be hilarious, right?
Okay.
So,
he was holding it all in.
It can be done.
He was holding it all in. It worked.
So, you're talking about improvising, storytelling, some of these traits that you're looking to develop in your team. So, from a supply chain standpoint and how the talent needs have evolved considerably, what else would you add to that in terms of traits you'd prioritize in today's supply chain practitioner?
Well, we talked about it, I think, before we started. You have to be willing to fail, and you have to be willing to allow yourself to have a bad experience, because if you're not willing to fail, then you're not willing to go big and you're not willing to try. And what ends up happening is those little failures that you learn from set the stage for the big success. If you're not willing to create those little failures, not only will you not have the big success, you'll probably have a big failure.
Yep.
I think that's super important, but all the things that we talked about are kind of orthogonal to the traditional supply chain thinking, and it's hard for standard supply chain guys to wrap their heads around it, right?
And that goes back to the importance of diversity, because that's where you're going to find the people that are willing to push the edges, and that's where the next breakthrough is going to come.
Absolutely.
Great point, Lee.
Yep, absolutely.
So can you talk to, where would you rank the ability to work well within a team? Where would you rank that?
So I think that's critical. And I think we're all trying to learn better how to allow the team to think and how to allow the team to self-organize and do things. That was also one of the lessons in the recent leadership thing. So it was about, how do you not make the mistake as a leader of over-controlling? And also how do you allow yourself to think super broadly? Right. We saw some examples of people that had done things that were by most lights completely impossible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of it also starts with, as a team, can you challenge yourselves to do something that's never been done before and that everybody's telling you can't be done? Mm.
So when you talk about broader thinking, are you also referring to bigger picture thinking? So folks that not only see their actions, but understand the upstream and downstream ramifications of the decisions that they make.
Yeah, business acumen becomes critical. Mm. I think that nowadays, the idea of supply chain as, you know, somebody you keep in the basement and, you know, maybe you feed them a package every now and then, that, you know, it just doesn't work, right? Yeah. We need businessmen and women that can actually look at the whole business and figure out how to add value to the whole business, not just their particular silo.
Yep. 1982. Again, that's the year we're going to pick on today.
That's Lee. It. Yeah, all right.
1982. Terrific. Talent and leadership is two topics that does not get enough attention despite some of the challenges we know that are out there in the marketplace. So let's shift gears. One final segment that we really want to dive in with Jack is sustainability. So Cisco had a little bit of big news in January as it was ranked the number one most sustainable company in the world, according to Barron's magazine, correct?
Yes.
And Jack, right. All because of Jack.
Yeah, that's it. No, but I do have to take credit about 96% of our carbon savings. So I think we're at 627 million metric tons.
Wow.
Came from logistics, right? Now that's both a good thing and a bad thing, because that means that we were a big part of the problem, right? but it also means it. We've been a big part of the success, thanks to partners like UPS. The other thing that just came out at Davos, I don't know if you guys heard it, we heard it loud and clear, and we're a little scared and a little excited and willingness to fail, Scott. Our CEO said, hey, Cisco's making a pledge that we want to get 100% of our product back. And so my phone started lighting up with all my peers who say,
sounds like a Jack problem.
Yeah, exactly. How could Chuck say this? So I'm like, well, you know, Chuck didn't call me up and ask me about it. So, you know, the idea of circular economy, which I think is going to be, I say it's as transformational as when people learn to pull bronze out of the, you know, or ore out of the ground and turn it into something. The idea that you can keep looping the economy back upon itself. I think it's going to be hugely transformational. It's going to change the way we do everything, right? Mm. So we're trying to learn for us what that looks like.
Yep.
I agree. Reverse logistics is huge, right?
Yeah, especially in
closed loops. Yeah.
Yeah. We're tracking together, Elba, because Jack serves on the board of the Reverse Logistics Association, right?
Yep.
And having had some conversations with Tony Sciarrota.
Yeah.
Close. We both talked about him, and he educated me really on how the body of knowledge on reverse logistics and how best practices. You don't hear nearly as much as we need to know and hear about what companies are doing to really, you know.
Yeah, some of the stats are startling. Like the e-commerce vendors, they're seeing returns of anywhere from 30% to 50%. So not only are you seeing the spike in outbound traffic because of, you know, all the e-commerce and the Amazons and all the daily deliveries, you know, my house looks like a shipping depot sometimes, you know, but you've got the returns, right? And so it's a double whammy on the traffic. And then those returns come in, and then what do you do with them?
Right.
You certainly don't want to send them to a landfill. So you got to figure out the highest and best use. It's a new world. Mm. I've got a funny stat for you that's that's related to your first topic about freight. So I was talking to one of the heads of a German logistics company, and he explained to me that this past holiday season, you know those fidget spinners that your kids have? They ship 35,000 tons of fidget spinners in 1 month.
Wow.
I mean, it blows your mind.
Like many of that went to my house.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because it ties back to the Toys R Us story, is that as shopping in brick and mortar shift and people buy online, they still want to try stuff on and try different things. Yes. So it's now built into the process. It used to be online, you would just buy what you want and keep what you wanted. But now a lot of younger people, especially, buy several, keep the one they want and send the rest back.
And so, by the way, we've got to get this figured out because retail sales is still predominantly done in brick and mortar.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's like 12% of sales are online.
Right, that's what people don't realize.
So think of all those packages, containers, and the reverse and the forward. We're in trouble.
And barely anybody's using online. Imagine if it was flipped and it was 80% online, what it would look like.
Absolutely. Huge, lots of opportunity. I was in a big box store Sunday with two buggies of stuff as my wife was ordering things delivered straight to the house. So she's got to train me up on the use of this e-commerce rather than lugging huge things of dog food all on my own and home and stuff. So huge opportunities. But nevertheless, reverse logistics will continue to be more and more important. So committing to Cisco, 100% of your products getting returned?
Yep, that's what we're committing to.
Is there a certain year that you are, what target date for that?
So to me, I consider it to be kind of an aspirational goal. And, okay, you know, we really need to start with the math of, okay, what does that even mean?
Right.
You know, I've got $30 billion of product out there right now that's last day of service.
Wow.
You know, what would getting $30 billion even look like and how would I measure it? And
UPS could do it.
Yes. Can you please ship that UPS?
Well, it really... Kidding aside, it takes great partners, right?
It does take great partners,
So, right, like no one company is going to solve this. This is going to be the ecosystem.
Ecosystem, absolutely.
Actually, we're going to solve it in this room today.
That's it. Well, the next show is the reverse logistics show, right?
Absolutely. Lee, we're tracking together. Love that. But again, Jay, as busy as you stay, Jack, I know you just got in from St. Louis and you're probably headed to the Pacific Rim next week. Really appreciate you spending time with us. You hosted Apex Atlanta's executive roundtable a few months back, focused on digital logistics. That was well received. I think Elba and Matt were both joining us for that. But thanks for your team. Thanks for what you do. And thanks for helping to push the industry forward.
Thanks for inviting me. It's been fun.
You bet. We'll do it again. Okay. So next up, that's what a great leadoff hitter. That's like Otis Nixon there. So, next on Supply Chain Now Radio, we are welcoming Matt Markham, Director of the Center of Innovation for Logistics, part of the vast Georgia Department of Economic Development engine and resources that makes business happen in our state and really beyond. I mean, if you think about the cog in the national economy, for that matter, the international economy that Georgia is, it's not just within the 3,000 counties we have in Georgia. Right, Matt?
No, absolutely.
So, good morning and glad you're here. So, I bet you jumped out of bed this morning with one thing on your mind, the Georgia Logistics Summit and MODEX, right?
Absolutely.
So, kidding aside, I'm pleased to serve this year on the summit's executive committee. We've been really busy. We've been working to make this year's summit in its 10th year the best one yet. So, Matt, let's start by, let's talk about the great partnership we have with MODEX this year.
So, like you said, this is our 10th year, and we have in the past worked with MODEX. MODEX is North America's largest supply chain trade show, and they come to Atlanta every other year for their trade show. And we've worked with them in the past, but this is the first year that we've truly integrated our partnership. And so it's going to provide a lot of new opportunities for companies and people in the supply chain industry in Georgia. To really network with a broader audience, to see bigger exposure of different parts of supply chain, and really a good opportunity. The part I'm most excited about, it's a chance for Georgia to showcase its best efforts to an international audience, even broader than we've had in the past. So, but the for those who have attended the Georgia Logistics Summit in the past, this will still be the event that that you have come to put on your calendars every year. Even with the MODEX partnership, it's still going to be the premier networking opportunity for companies in the state. We're going to have a great lineup of thought leaders this year talking about top industry trends and important themes in ways that that Georgia is being successful and ways that we can continue to build on that. So this is going to be a really good year for the summit, and we're looking forward to it.
Terrific. And for those of members of our audience that may not have heard of MODEX, we're talking about 30,000 folks that are bringing to Atlanta, right?
Right. It's about 30,000 that they bring in.
So premier networking. If you come out to the summit, you're going to have the opportunity to really add powerful connections to your network, pick up lots of best practices, find some job leads, and of course, hear from some of the leaders in the industry out there making it happen. So speaking of which, let's talk about keynotes, because we've got a great lineup this year. So let's walk through that, Matt.
Sure. And so, like we said, with the partnership with MODEX, we've actually broadened the amount of content that's available and the number of days. So it's actually April 9th through 12th. So it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So there's a long calendar there. And so we're able to, with partnership with MODEX and the people that we bring in, really highlight some big names, big brands for the state internationally. So we start off Monday morning with Juan Perez, who's the CIO for UPS.
Great Woo-hoo! Kickoff
Great
speaker.
Kickoff.
Setting, Great kickoff company.
Setting the tone all about, and it is a lot about digital supply chain, which is things we've talked about. So it's going to be a very exciting kickoff. That's a MODEX session as well. So there'll be a very diverse and broad audience to hear that message. So that's really good for UPS, really good for the state. And then following Governor Deal, Nathan Deal is going to speak as well. This is his, he's come to the Logistics Summit every year as he's been, since he's been in office. This will be his last year, and it'll really be a good opportunity and a capstone for him with what Georgia has done in transportation and logistics since he's been governor has been tremendous. And so he gets an opportunity to kind of share some final thoughts with the audience about what's going on in Georgia and what's next to come. So really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be very meaningful for the audience as well. And then on Tuesday, our main Georgia Logistics Summit keynote is Gareth Joyce. He's the Senior Vice President of Customer Operations and the President of Cargo for Delta Airlines.
Hot space.
So, yes. Another great Georgia company. Georgia partner, and he's got a really exciting message to share, I believe. You know, he's responsible for, someone described it as everything above and below the wing. So it's moving people and it's moving cargo. And everybody can relate. Most are Delta customers and have flown. And so, you know, from people moving and from cargo moving, there's a lot to share there. And
I didn't know there's other airlines other than Delta. Is there?
I'm not aware of it. Yeah, I'm not aware.
Okay, good. Well, I liked how you talked about Mr. Juan Perez, how he's setting the tone. I like that. Kind of setting the bar, setting the standard. What a great keynote to kind of lead off with this year. So after Mr. Gareth Joyce and Delta speaks, then we've got the Dirty Jobs guy, right?
So, yes, and this is, again, with this partnership with MODEX. MODEX, their big keynote event is on Wednesday, April 11th, and their day is all around workforce. And Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs, will be the Wednesday afternoon keynote. And Georgia Logistics Summit attendees will be able to attend that one as well. That'll be great. I've got that one penciled in, you know, on my calendar to attend, because I think that'll be very exciting to hear. He has a great message and
absolutely,
and just a dynamic and interesting speaker.
Okay, get him out at Supply Chain 101.
We'll work on it.
Schools, yeah. I know you got the power of the office. And then Pete Minto, we talked about him a little bit pre-show.
Yeah, so I think that Jack, you had mentioned funny financial guy.
Yeah,
that it is possible to talk about numbers and finances and be engaging. And
we
exciting.
Have personalities. Come on.
So yes, Pete Minto, he spoke last year at the summit about U.S. and global economic trends, and was very well received. He's a very exciting speaker, and people really enjoyed him. We had a lot of positive feedback. People learned a lot and had just a great time. And so he is coming back. He'll be on Tuesday afternoon following the keynote from Gareth with Delta. So that's another good one on the calendar to learn about.
What a great lineup. So kind of shifting gears a little bit, talking about, technology and talent. We talked about in the pre-show. That we've got tech disruption breakout, we've got smart state breakout, we've got a tech showcase. Tell us a little bit about why technology is so important at the summit.
Well, and so, you know, I think Jack teed it up really nicely with his conversations about, you know, what technology is doing, disrupting supply chain, and it's affecting all aspects of the business. Georgia is leading the way in a lot. We have a lot of great assets. We have a lot of great companies and entrepreneurs and big thinkers doing work in this. And so we love to use the summit as an opportunity to showcase those things and to bring together people to explore ideas and to see trends and things that they may not get to see otherwise. And so our tech showcase, bringing together early stage companies and startups that are working in logistics and supply chain. We'll have that opportunity to demonstrate what they're doing, to maybe pick up some new customers, get up some good ideas about things that they're working on, and help make some of these ideas a reality as they improve the improve supply chain. So technology is a big theme within the summit because it's a big theme in supply chain. And so we want to make sure that we're putting the thought leaders and we're putting the content together that will let people think about those things, learn what's going on, and hopefully come away with some new ideas.
So I think that tech showcase, what I've learned kind of in my first year as a volunteer on the executive committee is just how practical of an approach that the team has taken to engaging and getting folks plugged in and participating in the summit. I mean, to be able to showcase these entrepreneurial, oftentimes, whether they're a startup or in their early years, and give them an opportunity to plug in and showcase what they do and their product, their solution. There's been business that came out of that last year, for no doubt. So what a great approach to building out the summit. So Smart State, before we talk about workforce, let's talk about Smart State and that breakout session. You know, basically focused on learning how Georgia is making strides to become one of the first smart states. We hear about smart cities often, right? And smart communities. But Georgia is raising the bar again, kind of continuing that theme, talking about, you know, how can we become one of the first smart states?
Yeah, so we looked at the smart state as a little bit of a play on the smart cities concept. And obviously, a lot of what is going on are happening in urban communities and things where a lot of that, if you're dealing with congestion and movement of goods, those are areas where a lot of that is happening. But, you know, for us as, you know, part of the economic development, as part of the state of Georgia, statewide, we wanted to make sure that we're able to bring that out beyond just metro areas and talk about the issues and the things that Georgia is doing that makes us really dynamic statewide. So things like cybersecurity and what is going on with the building of the Cyber Innovation Center in Augusta. I mean, that's a
great story.
It's a great story. Cybersecurity, as I know, I've heard Jack talk about before, is one of the top issues. It already is number one, and it will continue to be a number one issue. And so Georgia's doing, we're leading the pack in that, and we want to make sure we're highlighting those things. Of course, what's going on with smart cities in Atlanta with partnership with Georgia Tech and the North Avenue Corridor and things like that, those are important things we definitely want to highlight, but we want to look outside a little bit. Things like rural broadband and how important that it is to have those that connectivity if we want those parts of the state to be successful and to be able to attract businesses and to grow companies and jobs out there. We need to make sure that they have the infrastructure, not just in roads, but also in broadband technology. And Georgia is doing a lot with that. And so that's something that we want to make sure we can highlight to our audience as well.
And when you think about infrastructure, naturally, really talent is part of that, right? You have to have a pool of qualified talent in order to fuel growth and economic development. So I want to drive forward because there's a neat initiative I want to chat about, and for the sake of time, I don't want to gloss past workforce. It's such a critical part and such a critical theme to the summit. We're going to have breakout sessions on challenges in the logistics workforce. We're going to have a breakout session on the talent pipeline, where you're going to hear stories from how some of the industry leaders are tackling the challenge to find that qualified workforce. And I'm really pleased to moderate the Women in Logistics breakout session, where to a lot of what we've talked about earlier today, how can we ensure that we take a very diverse approach and a fair approach and an all-inclusive approach to bringing on talent into organizations. So, Elba Pereja Gallagher, one of our own, the incomparable, is going to be on that panel, and we're looking forward to that. So thank you for taking time out, Elba.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be great, no doubt. So when we talk about talent, you know, we've got to talk about those underutilized pools of talent. And certainly one of those, we've chatted about this before, the veteran and military community. So As part of the effort to engage this community and get them out to the summit, which really, that's been one of the shortcomings in the, probably in the first 10 years, really making a strong effort to reach out, make sure we educate why they should be here, and then get them out. So this year, we kicked off a veterans initiative. So Matt, tell us about that.
Well, I have to give all credit to Scott, to you, and to members of our executive committee who have really put a lot of time, effort, and financial contributions to making this reality. So what we are doing this year is we are opening up the Georgia Logistics Summit to veterans. I mean, they're always able to attend, but we're really wanting them to come out this year. We are offering a 50% discount off of the entry fee for all veterans and active duty military. And thanks to Scott, to your company, to a couple of our other companies, we are actually sponsoring up to 100 veterans will be able to attend for free to have their registration paid for entirely.
We're trying to crest. I don't know if I can get away with this, but we're going to try to crest over 100 if we've got the funding for it.
That's absolutely. We that's exciting news. We would love to have as many as that we could.
Are
we
you
could
close? Get.
We're yeah, count? Yeah. We sure do. In fact, I just shared this with Matt. We're over 60. I'm sorry, over 80 seats have been funded, and over 80 seats have been filled. And thanks to Matt and Sandy Lake, and really the executive committee, really getting the word out. I think we're gonna have a demand for over 100, which is a great sign.
Wow.
Right, first
that's
year great. Initiative,
first time. Wow, that's impressive.
And you know, again, the leadership of the summit, Matt, Sandy, Emily, the whole Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics, I'm never going to be able to get that straight, team, they embraced these ideas. And this is just one of the numerous ideas that came out of the committee, made it happen. Greg White, who's with Curo Global, was one of the first person that said, hey, I'm going to sponsor 10 seats. And then with these little bits of momentum, next thing you know, in 3 weeks' time, maybe 4 weeks' time, got almost 100 folks funded and gotten the word out. So I should mention these companies real quick. Team One Logistics, Spin Management Experts, C.H. Robinson, Anderson Transportation Logistics, NPSG Global, which is building out a lot of distribution centers, Valentine Solutions, Manhattan Associates, and Shippers Warehouse. So really appreciate all those efforts. If you want more information on the Veterans and Military Initiative, or if you want to fund it, or if you want to attend it, reach out to me at EVP. Echo Victor Papa, I want to close, at apixatlanta.org.
So hey, Matt, Scott, I got a challenge for you.
Okay, here comes a challenge.
Not to put you on the spot.
You know,
we
got to
get a little bit in the uncomfortable zone.
Okay.
Report back to me what percentage of women are getting those
women
scholarships.
Veterans?
That is excellent.
Yeah.
And maybe in those remaining 20.
Let's go.
Yeah, there you
let's
go.
Let's see if we can move that needle.
That is a great.
Because there are some awesome women veterans out there.
Any Absolutely. Women veteran associations been asked to participate?
You know, we need to do a better job. We chat about this last couple of shows. We got to do a better job of creating an effective vehicle to getting word out around around this, not just this initiative, but the summit itself out to these agencies that deal with veterans of all kinds. So as if I've learned anything through as we've have rolled this thing out. We got a lot of improvement. There's a lot of room for improvement in that area. But, you know, again, it's about leadership. It's about, Matt and Sandy and the state and how they have acted on this idea and supported it and have tried to, it's all about action. I mean, that's what it comes down
to. Well, at first you have to have awareness
that's
and
right.
then bring it to the table and have those hard conversations.
And it takes leaders, somebody and like then, Scott, who makes it happen.
Exactly.
Well,
a lot of pressure on Scott. I hope his mother's not listening.
Holy. Well, great. First off, thanks to Matt Markham for his leadership. Thanks for taking time out, not just today, but I mean, he's part of every single meeting and then all the ones I'm not privy to behind the curtains. Of course, he came out and is supporting the supply chain 101 effort to really build up that upstream awareness of supply chain, logistics, manufacturing careers. It's really when you start to say, okay, why is Georgia number one state to do business in? It's because of some of this type of approach to the community and industry and employers and the whole shebang. So appreciate you being here, Matt.
Thank you very much.
So thank you, Lee. So to Miss Leah Luton in Aiken, South Carolina, thanks for all your support. And we're going to, you're going to be part now, mom.
Hi, mom.
Of the show.
Our is high she performance a veteran, Scott?
She's a long time listener, long first time caller.
Oh, how much fun. So next on Supply Chain Now Radio, I'm really pleased to introduce Elba Pareja Gallagher, founder of Show Me 50 and chair of our Apex Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force. Good morning, Elba.
Good morning.
So, again, this is one of my favorite segments. This is where I've learned so much from Elba's perspective. I mean, and it's rippling out through each of our shows. So what we're going to tackle today in the Rapid Fire High Performance Minute?
We are doing Rapid Fire. We're going to cover three quick topics. We're just going to start out. We've had this theme about diversity and how it really can empower innovation. It can also keep you out of trouble. And the Theranos SEC agreement that came out recently, I wrote a blog on it on my individual LinkedIn page. You know, their board of directors.
A wonderful, wonderful blog. Very thorough.
Yeah, check it out, everybody. One of the facets of their failure was really, in my opinion, their board of directors was not diverse. For one thing, there was one woman, the CEO and founder. 99% of voting power was concentrated in her. That's diversity of voting power.
Yeah, that's a problem.
There were 9 other board members, all men. They had super high degree of intelligence and a lot of connections. 3 were former cabinet members for presidents, 2 former senators, and a couple of corporate folks. So how do you think that diversity may have impacted, you know, the uncertainty and the problems that happen? Any thoughts on board diversity?
I mean, I would say that's almost, it's almost one of the classic case studies you see about problems with groupthink and things where people individually are geniuses, but together they can allow...
Except certain members of society.
Not all groups. Yeah. But, you do see those issues where people that are without a diversity of thought, without people feeling like they have the empowerment to speak up or to be part of those decisions, you can end up getting past a point of no return on bad decisions. It is unfortunate, but you do see case studies where these kinds of things happen. And I think this falls into that unfortunate trap.
Yeah, I think you need, I mean, diversity ought to be a criteria for any leadership team. Jack?
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, we hear the statement made, well, I want to choose the best person for the task, et cetera, et cetera. But we all have biases. We all have biases. And so fundamentally, you know, by creating an environment where those biases are either eliminated or neutralized, you actually can build the best team and, you know, focus on people who are multi-talented, multicultural, multi-diverse. You get better thinking. Right?
Yep, that's right. Yeah, great. So that's topic number one, right? So in all of your executive leadership teams, you have to open your eyes and observe who's on the team. Because on this board for Theranos, it's not like it was a one-day board. Multiple years, the composition of the board was this way, and no one really said, well, gosh, maybe we need to find diversity in our board.
But do you think that part that contributed to it was that they had a female CEO? So they thought, oh, we're diverse. We have a female CEO, so we're good.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I hear a lot that, oh, women have made a lot of progress. We have a lot of, you know,
right,
women.
They just point, everybody points to that one person.
That's right. But when you look at the statistics on a holistic level, it's clear that women remain underrepresented,
right,
you know, across the nation. For the United States, roughly 22 to 24% of women hold leadership positions, meaning director and above.
Yep.
And certainly there are women capable of those leadership
roles.
Right,
but all of those board members were each pointing to that CEO.
Of course,
saying,
we have
hey,
a woman, we're diverse.
Right, and look at how forward thinking we all are.
Mm. Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you mentioned in the pre-show a pop quiz.
Yes.
For us.
Rapid fire topic
rapid
two.
Rapid fire topic
We've two. Talked a lot about initiatives that we're doing in our own organizations to really move the needle on innovation. One thing that we can all do is become more intentional about what we do to embrace diversity, to find diversity in different pools besides the ones that are around us. So there's this awesome quiz by my friend Jeff Halter at an organization called Why Women. And you can find a link to this quiz on the Show Me 50 LinkedIn page. So while you're there, become follow Show Me 50 LinkedIn. The first one is this quiz. So it's 20 questions. It's intended for men, but I encourage women to take it as well. And it's a quick way to measure where you fall in the spectrum of your understanding and your commitment to change behaviors that drive more diversity in your team. So check it out.
So it's not diversity just by gender. It's diversity overall.
It's the quiz is targeted to how you understand gender issues at
gender,
work.
Okay, gender.
Not, yeah. So, and I'm going to give you just a couple of the questions real quick. So what the way you answer is 10 questions are based on strongly agree to strongly disagree. And the second questions are frequency, how often you demonstrate this behavior. So a couple of one is it's important to recognize and identify gender differences in communication and work styles. Another one is organizations should be visible in articulating the value of gender parity. Another one, I acknowledge that there are differences between my communication and working styles and that of my female colleagues, and I seek to bridge the differences. So it's things like that that kind of raise awareness, but it's just 10 quick questions. I encourage you to go out and take it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Last one.
I've taken it 7 times. No, I failed each time. Oh, but I even knew the answers.
And I just followed Show Me 50.
Awesome.
Oh, there you go. Got a new follower.
And I forgot to say one thing about the quiz. You don't just take it and it goes into this vacuum. It shoots you back some tips customized to where you fell in the spectrum on things you could do to change. Little things that you can do on a daily basis. So check it out. And it's private. Only you will know.
But can you see the aggregate of the results?
I'm going to have to talk to Jeff about that. I bet he will.
He Scott, you're skewing the curve.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, last topic real quick and an announcement. Show Me 50 runs Lean In Circles. They're groups of men and women who get together to talk about business and leadership issues and also talk about how to engage more women in teams for optimization. We're going to talk about design thinking in our April 16th Lean In Circle. So we'll teach people how to be creative and solve problems around identifying desirability, feasibility, and viability for innovation and ideas.
Is Jack doing improv or are you doing improv?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's in June.
Jack doesn't know it yet, but I'm roping him in for a robotics lean-in circle.
There awesome. You go. Sounds great.
Well, a lot of good stuff. No, never any shortage of good stuff from Elba. She's doing such great work with Show Me 50 and with our Apex Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force, which we're still taking nominations for possible new names.
That's right.
And the website for Show Me 50?
ShowMe50.org.
Great. And it's all dedicated, again, progressive leadership, policies of inclusion. You know, a lot of folks that we've discussed, you hear gender gap and men tend to want to shy away, but it's for everybody. It benefits everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're talking about following and Twitter and stuff. So if you want to check out Jack Allen, and I didn't ask for permission for this, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. It's JACALLEN _SC. So at Jack Allen _SC.
Perfect. All right. So, man, what a great show. I feel like this conversation could have easily gone on for several more hours. We're going to close out on a couple of items here. Jack, I don't know if you laughing is a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
It's the Georgia Logistics Summit. If you haven't heard, it's April 9th through the 12th at the Georgia World Congress Center, of course, in partnership with MODEX. There's not a perfect website URL to give out, but if you want the fine links or whatnot.
GeorgialogisticsJohn.com/summit.
Oh, perfect.
Got that
is
simple.
There is a link.
There is a link.
There is a link. And if you are within the sound of my voice, which I guess thanks to the internet is everybody
on
the world.
The planet, right?
If you haven't signed up, we encourage you to sign up and attend. It'll be if you've come before, this will be the best one you've been to. If you haven't come before, this is the one to attend.
Awesome. Give us that URL one more time.
GeorgiaLogistics.com.
Georgia spelled out?
Georgia spelled out, yes.
Okay, great. So April 18th, you know, digitization, which is an incredible word to try to say after 18 cups of coffee. April 18th, join APIC, CSCMP, and the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance. We host a panel event at SunTrust Park focused on digitization. So amongst others, we're going to hear from Peggy Gulick with AGCO and hear some of the really neat things they're doing in the digitization space, as I said. And then the Braves are going to beat up on the Phillies, of course, as I do every time after the panel event. Find out more information at apexatlanta.org. Next month, Lee, we've got a great lineup as well. Matt Bean of Kick Custom Products and BioLab John Haber with Spend Management Experts. We'll both be in the studio talking a wealth of knowledge. And then webinars. We're ramping up our Supply Chain Now Radio webinar series. We've got currently scheduled sessions on leadership, business intelligence and data analytics, inventory reduction, business metrics, generational transfer, and reverse logistics, Jack.
All right.
And want to, of course, end on this. Big thanks to Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream for sponsoring. If you want more information on anything we tackled today, you can email us over at evp@apexatlanta.org. Big thanks to our guests. As this wraps up episode number 11 of Supply Chain Now Radio, big thanks to our audience for plugging in today. Thanks, Mom. And Lee, our audience, what? No, I'm kidding. Love you. Lee, what did we miss today?
I think we got all the highlights, and it's always a pleasure to have you in the studio, and you always bring great guests. And special thanks, and we can't give enough thanks to Scott and his team at TalentStream for making this show possible, and the folks at Apex Atlanta as well. We will see you all next time on Supply Chain Radio.